military syllabling is started for nice training school. We'll just use John chapter 11. I think that's where we pretty much ended last week. We'll use that as a launching pad again to start with this lesson on tonight. Let's pray for us. Father, we bless you as always. And we thank you for another opportunity just to get in your word. We seek wisdom and understanding. We know that you're faithful and that any time we ask for it, you reveal it to us. We bless you for that. Keep us within the boundaries of the scriptures that we may teach it precept upon precept, line upon line. In your name we do pray. Amen. All right. John chapter 11. I'm just trying to see which verse 1. We'll just start at verse 11 since we've dealt with, I think we started around verse 1 and read down to this here. We just started at verse 11, John 11, verse 11. It says, these things he said he is Christ. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. As we discussed on last week, that we who are in Christ, we who are believers in Christ, then when we die, the scripture calls it sleeping, okay, or sleep. And so it is a different perspective as someone who is not in Christ. It's not a sleep. And the reason why it's not a sleep is because we got an understanding on last week that the reason why we're classified as being asleep is because we will be a part of the first resurrection. And we just use Revelation chapter 20 just again confirm that Revelation chapter 20 to the left of the screen, to the rest of the screen, I'll read verse 4, Revelation 20 verse 4, it says, and I saw thrones and they set up on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahushua and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5 now says, but the rest of the dead, because as we see here, they were beheaded, meaning that they were put to sleep, as what we look at as far as John 11, verse 11 is saying. Lazarus, because he believed in the Messiah, he was only sleeping. So these people who were beheaded for the witness of Yahushua and the word of Yah, they like Lazarus, or Sister Scripture tense, I'll say we like Lazarus, will sleep when this time frame comes, okay? So the sleep and the beheaded shows the association. And the reason why it identifies as sleep in John chapter 11 is because the scripture says here, and they live. So those who live again, those who are going to be in the first resurrection, as we'll find out in verse 5, okay, they will live again. So those who will live again are, according to the definition of verse 5, that in the first resurrection, we are classified as sleep, like John 11, verse 11, in reference to Lazarus. So those who die in Jesus, okay, in Yahushua, those who die and are witnesses, they believe in the Messiah, they believe that he's the Son of Yah, they believe that he was sent to be the sacrificial lamb, and he's also the king and priest and sacrifice who was slain for the sins of mankind. Those who believe that, they die in him, and thus they shall live, or see in the first resurrection of Revelation 20, verse 5. So again, it says they were beheaded for the witness of Yehoshua and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived, those who sleep will live again. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead, you see the difference here? It lets us know that there is an identification or a clear distinction between those who are in Christ as witnesses of Yehoshua. They live again. Those who are dead, separated from Christ, who doesn't accept Christ, they live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. In other words, the first resurrection are these who live again and reign with Christ. Those who live again, they are asleep. Lazarus will live again and reign with Christ. With Christ these 1,000 years, just use that for an example. So that's why the scripture says he sleepeth. Those who are not in Christ, they are dead, physically as well as a separation from Yah. Okay? So they're dead. Remember, you just jump in if you need to. And so that's why it says again in verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So because Lazarus in John 11 now, is counted in the first resurrection, then Christ say that he's sleeping. But we clearly understand that he's dead, especially when we look at the scriptures here. Okay? All right, now get out of Revelation 20. Again, verse 11 says, these things said he, Christ, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, they're not understanding it at this point. If he sleep, he shall do well. Sleep is good. When you're sick and if you're sleeping, they're thinking that's what he's doing fine. Howbeit, Yehoshua spake of his death. See, we as those who sleep in Christ, we do experience death as far as the physical body, but we don't experience being dead. That is something that takes us to a deeper understanding. It's not only a physical death, but it's a separation from Yah. So we may experience death, but we still are classified as those who sleep, okay? Then it says, but they thought that he had spoken of him taking of rest in sleep. Then said Yehoshua unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's relating to them. So when you see it from a definition of death, it says to die off or be dead, death, die, lie, a dying, be slain. So it has the same perspective, but understand that it is from a perspective of sleeping, okay? Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, he said, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto you. Now, my question here is believing what? Believing what? When you look at what Christ had informed his disciples on what he would do in reference to his death, what the prophets had said in reference to his death, that the Messiah would come, he would die, be crucified, and things like this. So when he addressed these things, it was to encourage them to know, first of all, that he was going to die, but be resurrected, okay? It was going to be just sleep, and his death was different from what they understood it to be. And then at the same time, it was also, as we mentioned on last week, that it was an encouragement to let them know that, okay, you don't have to be afraid of death when you're in me, because you're just sleeping. You have a resurrection that's taking place of the physical body, because the real you never dies, okay? And And we look at what Paul says, oh, to help me find it, what Paul says, to be separate from the body, to be present with the Lord. Then he said, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Okay? And as we continue to read on, we see in verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Yahushua, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But they knew he was doing miracles and different things like that. And then she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of Yah, Yah will give it thee. Who brings life? Who is the source of life? Yah. Okay, Yah. So she's saying it from that perspective. Then look at what the Savior goes on and says, Yahushua said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Look what our response is. Because they understand it. Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. At the last day. He shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Now her perspective is she's talking. I believe at this point she's not talking about when Christ returns. She's talking because she don't know at this point. She's talking about the day of judgment. Because they thinking that he's coming to set up his kingdom and the nation of Israel is going to reign. That's why when you get over to Acts and he tells them, let's just go to Acts. I'm moving around a little bit, but I have to just get you to understand that she is talking about, as elders say, the last day. That's why in Acts chapter 1, when he says to them, for John truly baptized with water, Acts 1 verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They knew that the Messiah was going to restore Israel. They had thought that he was going to restore before he ended up dying. That's why they were celebrating and all that when he was coming into Jerusalem. They thought he was coming to take over. Go ahead.
But then they knew all the scriptures, all the stuff that had to happen.
Just like us, you know, we'll sit there and do it and just overlook it and don't walk in it. Same thing. You know, it's just that they knew he was coming, but they didn't have the revelation of his redemption plan. I don't even know, or at this point, just from my mind, just rolling through all the scriptures, I don't see anything in there that gave me the impression that he had to die and come back. Because all the prophets Isaiah talked about when he would come, that he would gather the nations. So they're thinking he's here. He's going to do this. They not know he's coming to be crucified or doesn't have a revelation. Because like you said, the prophets are saying Isaiah 53 points out his death. And so all these things are going on, pouring out his death, but they were caught up into the, wait a minute, the fact that he's here, it's like they didn't get the revelation of it.
The fact that he's here doing all these miracles, yeah. Stuff like that, how he gonna die?
How? Because even the scripture says that even if Satan or the devil had known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so it's like, that was the mystery, that he had to come and die for the sins of mankind. He had to become the sacrifice for man. And that was the mystery that nobody got until the apostles started preaching that mystery, Christ and him crucified.
So in a nutshell, all they were looking for was the day that's coming ahead for us in a nutshell.
Exactly. That's all they expected. They didn't get the revelation. They just thought once he came, the kingdom was going to be set up. That's why they immediately asked him this question in Acts chapter 1. Although Isaiah 53, points out that that this was going to happen to you. We'll just pull it up. As y'all just revealed, I'll just go to the scriptures. Isaiah 53, and we'll get back to Acts 1, and then we'll go back to John. Don't let me forget that one too. Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report? This is Isaiah prophesying of what was going to happen to Christ. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yah revealed, arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. Okay? I have to do this here so that you can understand this. I'm going to pull up Isaiah 11. You'll see Isaiah 53 at the bottom, Acts 1, and John 11. I got four scriptures so that you can see this. It says, who shall believe his report? I'm at the bottom to the left. Who shall believe our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should behold, that we should desire him. When you look at this, Isaiah 11 says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Root out of dry ground, stem of Jesse. Same conversation. Okay? And what this is pointing out here is that, in a nutshell, well, I just continue to read it and then we'll talk about it. Verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. When Christ was on that cross, nobody looked at him as the Son of God and the King of Kings as he was. They despised him. They looked down on him. And that's what Isaiah is prophesying. He's seeing this event before it takes place. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yah, and afflicted. Now our nation was killing him, crucifying. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Take the scripture where he didn't say a word when they were taking him through this. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. This is Christ. So although they were seeing these things, they had no revelation of what was taking place here. So when he came, they thought he was going to take over. That's why they were saying Hosanna and all that when he was coming in. Didn't know that he was coming to fulfill what was written about him, that he would be crucified. And so once he's crucified, go back to Acts chapter 1. Once he's crucified, he is now resurrected. He's promising them the Holy Ghost. Okay? John verse 5, Acts 1 verse 5, he's telling them they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost to witness. Their first thing was, okay, is this the time we're going to become a nation? Because we thought you were going to do it before you was crucified. We thought you was going to do that. So is this, because our nation understood that we would become a nation again. Okay? And so that's why they're asking these questions here. And so the information was there, but they did not have the revelation of who he was, okay? Now, back to John chapter 11. The Savior says here in verse 23, Yehoshua said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. See, that's sleep. That's why Lazarus is asleep. He's going to rise again. He's not dead in sin. He's a follower of Christ, so he shall rise again. That's why he said, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall arise again in the resurrection in the last day. This resurrection she's talking about is this day right here. Okay? Remember, the first resurrection, this is not the one she's talking about. I just want to show you. The first resurrection is the thousand-year reign. Okay? This is the first resurrection. What Martha's talking about is here. Martha's talking about this day. Okay? Martha's talking about this day. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yah. Martha was talking about that day. That's why she said last day. Because this is the last resurrection here that's being described from verse 11, Revelation 20, verse 11, all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 15. So Martha's talking about that this particular day here. She's not talking about the first resurrection. She don't have a revelation, I believe, of that. At least she don't give any signs of it. Now, Yehoshua says to her in John 11, verse 25, Yehoshua said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Why?
First resurrection.
Right. I am, yeah, true, the first resurrection. We want to make sure we understand it. I am the resurrection and the life. Why is he saying that? Well, we understand a colon here. So what does a colon let us know? It tells us why he's saying it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. We sleep. That's why he says, I am the resurrection. I am the way to life. I am that living water that if anyone drink of me, believe on me, he'll never thirst again. Because he's going to live eternity forever. He's going to always be connected to me and my Father. That, thus, he never died. I am the resurrection. You believe in me, you will understand it is important. When you believe in me, you are the one who will be resurrected first, as the elder said. Revelation 20, verse 5. All we do is believe on him. If we believe on him, if we believe that he is, we believe Isaiah 53, what we read, that he was indeed crucified for us. He is the Son of God. We believe all these things. He said, indeed, though you were dead or though we died, yet shall we live. We don't have to fear. He goes on and said, because there's another colon there, so he's not finished. He's not finished. Yehoshua said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Why? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. Believest thou this? He asked the question. Do you believe it? She said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of Yah, which should come into the world. And you had something?
Is that why he called it sleep then? Because from that context, when he said he'll never die, so to anybody from the context of what we understand from the corner that dies, you believe in him, to him it's not death, it's sleep.
It's sleep. And so because can you repeat that again? Because I want to jump right in the vein of something, but I want to make sure they hear you first.
So for him to say, you know, you shall never die, when you look at that, you might say, well, you know, they did die. But from the context of how Christ sees things, they didn't die. They sleep.
So from that perspective, we have to believe, because he asked this question, believest thou this? And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Yahushua. So he says, this is the case. Believe this. This is what I believe. I am your Messiah, your Mashiach. This is what you believe. So each one of us have to believe that those of us who believe in him, we shall never die. we aren't asleep. The physical body is the thing that sleepeth or died. We live eternity. Let's remember Lazarus, Luke 16. So it's important for us to understand these things, okay? Verse 26.
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that where the church, you know, there's a church, Triumph the Kingdom of God in Christ, they had said for years that they wasn't going to die. They were talking about the physical death.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that religion?
I don't really know much about it, but from that perspective, you can get people who will take this understanding and turn it into a cult. And because they don't have the revelation of the scripture, the revealing, when I say revelation, I'm talking about the revealing of the scripture by the leading of the Spirit of Yah, then they would take what the scriptures say and like Mama Coast is saying, take it to an actual cult-like misunderstanding, they'll use it as doctrine and say, see, the scripture says those that believe in him shall never die, so we're never physically going to die. That's somebody who operating in ignorance. They don't have a revelation of the scripture.
So whoever the founder of that church was, that's what he was teaching them. But okay. And so as people died, then it was expressed that they weren't in Christ because they died.
Oh, okay.
But when he died, then that caused them to reconsider. So
right.
I'm not really sure what they think now, because all those people back then that said that, they all gone.
Okay. Yeah, I never really knew about that religion in detail, but I mean, just from the perspective of what you're saying, that those are things that happen when you have people who claim to get these revelations from Yah, but in reality, it's nothing but, I believe that 2 Peter 1 and 20 says it's private interpretation. And that's why it's vitally important for us to use scripture after scripture to confirm what we're saying. And that's what we're doing. And by doing it that way, we're able to see the true meaning by the leading of the Spirit of Yah. So, yeah, it is direct.
And the way you're explaining it, it just makes it crystal clear.
Amen. Okay. And verse 26 says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of Yah, who shall come into the world. And when she had so said, verse 28, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the master's come, and called it for thee. Well, long story short, let's move down. Let me see. I'll skip to verse 33. When Yehoshua therefore saw her weeping, Mary here, verse 32. I'll go to verse 32. Then when Mary was come unto Yehoshua, come where Yehoshua was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Yehoshua therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Yehoshua wept. This is the shortest scripture verse in the Bible. Yehoshua wept. Verse 35. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have called even this man, should not have died? Yehoshua again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. And coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Yehoshua said, take you away the stone, Martha. Martha, you had something?
Is that foreshadowing?
What?
This whole scenario foreshadowing of what will happen to him. him being in a cave with a stone rolled up on it?
I think that's even revealed in scripture, but I can't remember. Martha, the sister of him, verse 39, Yehoshua said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, Lazarus, that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Yehoshua said unto him, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of Yah? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Yehoshua lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Yehoshua said unto him, loose him and let him go. Okay? Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Yehoshua did believed on him. Okay? But then you had almost 2 foot Pharisees. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what Yehoshua had done. Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. Okay? If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. That's the problem they were having. The Pharisees liked their position, and they got the people up to come against Christ because they were concerned about that little position, and the Romans attacking them because they knew that the prophecies were being fulfilled that he was the king. And they felt like it was going to be a threat between the Roman authority and Christ's authority as the king. That's the issue that was going on. Okay? Go ahead.
I mean, with that being said, I guess it is a pride issue. Don't they know? Ain't they supposed to be the ones that know all the scripture and everything? Ain't they supposed to know? But, I guess it's
got to
be fulfilled.
Pride kicking in, too. Verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Yehoshua should die for that nation. So what you saying, he's speaking the scripture, okay? And not for that nation only, but that he also should gather together in one the children of Yah that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. This man basically said, okay, y'all remember what the scripture says, okay, he's Messiah. In a nutshell, that's what he's implying. So from that point on, they start plotting to kill him. All right? Now, so from that perspective, we used that as a launching pad. We stayed there quite a bit. But let's move on to other scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11. What did you have, the other one?
The other scripture is
2 Corinthians
5.
Okay.
First thing.
Okay. I just use this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 says, Paul is talking here. Paul says to let us know that we do just sleep as far as the physical body. I'm going to go up to verse 1. It's the only way you can see it clearly. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house, physical body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, let's look at the word dissolved, okay? The word dissolved means to loosen down, by implication to demolish, destroy, dissolve. I'm just trying to see overthrow, thrown down. So he's talking about this physical house, but he's using it like if you throw down a physical house. Well, if you throw down a physical house, it no longer exists. For us to understand the earthly house. Okay? So he said if it were dissolved, so we understand that to be death. He said if it were dissolved, then we have a building of Yah, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We are eternal beings. We just live in a house that is dissolved or die. Okay? Sleep. Then he says, for in this we groan, what? This earthly house? Toes hurt, corn hurt, back hurt, we getting older, stuff started. We groan. For in this we groan, earnestly designed to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We got a heavenly house. Those who believe, we got a heavenly house. We only sleep. Okay? Clothed with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. It's something else beyond what we see in the mirror. Okay? For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, this body, this physical body, this earthly house. We do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. Sometimes we get tired of this body. We say, man, I just be glad when Christ comes so I can go ahead and get my new body. That's what we're talking about. Right now, we unclothed. When this body dies, then we're clothed with what we're going to have. That's why the scripture says, and we're going to go there, that's why the scripture says, when he returns, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him. He's clothed with eternity. He's Yah's son, and he is the one where, as he said, I am the resurrection and the life. So when he returns, we will be clothed with him. Death will be no more. Have no more steam on us. That's why it's letting us know this now. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. When we lose it, we now live. Right now, you ain't living. We ain't living right now. We are, but I'm just saying that so that you can understand this, what Paul is revealing to us. We are not fully living until we are unclothed out of this physical. That's why it has to be, in the resurrection, changed to immortality. Okay. Now we're clothed with life. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. Verse 5, now he that has brought us for the self-same thing is Yah, who also has given unto us the earnest of his spirit. Okay? Therefore, we are always confident. Remember, that's why we're discussing this. There are things that's approaching. But we, as the saints of Yah, we are confident. I'm so ready for all this stuff to go down. You know, I was looking in Revelation, you know, just kind of going over some things in Revelation. I was in chapter 9. All them demons and stuff going to soon come up out of the abyss. And all these things, these four angels going to come up out of Euphrates. So they're bound in the Euphrates. So if they're bound, they can't be the angels that are in line with Yah. He have angels, four angels bound in the Euphrates. They're going to come out, and when they do, they're going to be killing mankind. I'm saying, come on, I'm confident. Bring all this havoc on. Y'all bring your wrath down upon this earth because I am confident because I understand what this body is. It is only a naked suit. Unclothed me, I ain't scared. Okay? Then it says, therefore, we all have confidence. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You got to understand that. As long as we're in this body, we are not in the presence of the Lord. Where is the Lord? He's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father in heaven. As long as we're in this body, as believers in him, we are separated from him. The only thing that keeps us separated from the Lord in heaven is this body. Verse 6 again, therefore we are always confident in knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't go by whether I got to see it or not. I just believe it. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that he is the Messiah. I believe that he is the Son of Yah. I am not concerned about physical death because all I'm going to do is sleep. Because when the day the physical body, the day this tabernacle is dissolved, I will go and meet my Maker. So give me an upgrade. I'm not afraid. Just an upgrade. Just mean that I get to pay off this negative. Verse 8, we are confident. You have something?
That's why when you see in the New Testament when they talk about them being caught up in the Spirit and the Lord say it's like those things, it's like where Paul makes the statement, whether I was in the body or not in the body, I do not, kind of like those kind of things. It's like if that's the stuff that's necessary in order for y'all to deal with you at a level beyond just regular.
I do it every day. That's why I be saying sometimes, you know, when y'all be teaching, sometimes you be like, boy, sometimes be waiting on you. And there are times when I go to those places that Paul is talking about. And from those experiences, when you understand these things, then the body quits limiting you. When you start to understand these things, like with the stuff that now, you are now not limited by the physical body. When you become limitless, that's why, oh, man, I have to show you this. That's a good question. Where is it? John. Yes, John 3:30, that's what I'm talking about, but that's not where I want to be. Let me type it in. I was close. John 3:34. Okay. John 3, the rest of this 4 says, For he, this is Christ, whom Yah has sent, speaking the words of Yah, for Yah giveth not the Spirit by measure. When you look at the word measure, it means metron. It says by limited portion, degree. When we enter, the more we understand about the scriptures and Yah, then the more our state of consciousness, because when you look at the spirit, it means obviously it's the breath of Yah. That's where you started from, because it all comes from the source of Yah. But the source of Yah or the breath of Yah influences the mind. So the more we come into, the more we are enlightened by the breath of Yah, then it takes the boundaries off, the limitations off the physical. Thus Christ did miracles. Thus he turned water into wine. Thus he did all these things because the more we connect with the breath of Yah and he enlightens us, the more the physical body is not bound to us. Thus, as what Elder said, Paul had these revelations where he was having these encounters in heaven. John was having these encounters where he's saying, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And he writes all of Revelation because he's seeing events in the future. He's seeing events as far as his time was concerned. He's seeing things taking place in heaven. He's seeing things taking place on earth because he's not limited in his physical body. Because his state of mind is at a level now whereby Yah can slide in on it and breathe on him. He has no limitation. He now been traveling in all the realms where God is, Yah is, where the enemy is, where the earth is. He can see all these things. I see the abyss. I see heaven. I see the saints under the altar. He sees everything. He's not limited. So yeah, to answer that question from that perspective, and I just want to show you that in Scripture, Christ was he didn't have the spirit by measure. His mind wasn't limited. He could do anything he wanted to do. And so that's why I have these encounters, because Yah has put it, he has breathed on me to the point to where when I see the Scriptures and understand it, the adjustment takes place, and from that the physical body is not found. I go in different realms all the time. And y'all not careful, I do it on you. That's why sometimes I be talking to you and I say, yeah, Lord, because I'm hearing them saying things at the same time, and all these Scriptures are coming up, and I go to different, okay, Elder, find this for me, because all this stuff is coming, because the Spirit of Yah is not, the Spirit of Yah is breathing on me, so my mindset is not bound now for the Scriptures. They just keep coming up. Whatsoever I have read, whatsoever I have looked at, is coming up, because now the Spirit is working. It's not me. Okay? You had anything else? Okay. Now, he says, verse 8, 2 Peter 5, verse 8, he said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The only thing that's keeping us away from the Lord is the body. When it sleeps, we go to heaven. That's what the Lord is. Okay? And to be present with the Lord. This is why Scripture says, my Father has many mansions. I go out to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. Not no mansion, you know, like folks picture down here, that dwelling places. Okay? We have a place in Yah. In Yah, you know, it was paradise until Christ led out the captivity captive. And now, those who die, Revelation 20, they are at the altar of Yah in heaven with white robes. As we read it in the Scriptures. Okay? Then that's why he says this now. With this confidence, verse 9, he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I'm laboring since I'm absent from his presence, from his presence physically, okay, or living, okay, I want to be accepted of him. That's what we labor for. Okay? Go ahead.
So seeing this scripture, though, I think it was quoted a lot, right? It says, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the way I always have heard it misquoted is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
That's not what they're saying.
Right.
There are people that are absent from the body.
And I'm not.
They're not present with the Lord, right? So, it's like that. This scripture has been misquoted a lot.
Exactly, and so that's why at all funerals, everybody in heaven with Jesus, because they don't understand that it boils down to those who believe in the Messiah, believe that he's the Son of God, believe these things, and so from that perspective, it makes a clear separation. That's why verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Faith in what? That he is the Son of Yah. That because he is, these things will happen to us, leading up to verse 7, verse 1 through 7. Okay? And so that's what Paul is saying. Paul is laying out a decree. I'd rather be absent. I'm again, verse 8, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's not a confidence that everybody has. It's those who have an understanding of who Christ is and they believe that he is Lord, those are the ones that have that confidence. Rest should be kind of wary.
Well, I mean, even based on what we've dealt with up until this point, we know that when the other guy, they end up in hell, right? So it's like,
Luke 16.
They ain't present with the Lord.
Right. And so these scriptures are there to point us out that there is a clear separation between those who believe and those who do not believe in the Christ. So when you run across somebody who says, I don't believe that Christ is the Son of Yah, I don't believe that Christ died for the sins of mankind and stuff like that, you're listening to somebody that when they die, they're going to lift their eyes up. There's only one way to the Father, and he sent the Son as the sacrifice and the king and priest of all mankind, and all those who believe in what Yah sent his Son to do shall be saved. Okay. That's why Paul goes on and says in Romans that this is not an issue of works. This is an issue of faith, verse 7. Okay? I'm not righteous because I don't eat pork. I'm righteous because I believe in the Messiah. And so are you. Okay? We're not righteous because we honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. The Sabbath was made for us to honor. And it goes beyond just church service. Y'all said, I want you to rest because I rested on the Sabbath day. So if the world decrees that I created everything and rested on the seventh day, I want my creation, even the animals, to rest on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. That's a decree. But he clearly points out in Scripture, whether we do it or not, it does not make us righteous because we do it. It is something that is put in place for our good, our benefit. Okay. So like the same way with pork. It's put in place for our benefit. There are certain things that have issues. It's unclean animal. It's put in place, and those instructions are put there for our benefit. It doesn't mean that we're a bad person going to hell and we consume it. But it's important for us to understand that there are laws put there to instruct us. It's like it's okay to have a red light. And when it's red, don't run it. There are consequences for it. The same thing as far as the law put in place as far as that is concerned. Okay. Now, verse 9, again, and I think I'm going to stop at verse 9. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. I'll read verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Okay? I don't see nothing else in there that I can jump on and do. There are some things, but we'll go a while if we did. Okay, we got it. Good. All right, we'll pick up with this again on next week, and we'll fully understand what we do, the difference between death and sleep. And we can be encouraged. We don't have to be walking around here fearing and you know. One thing, just kind of throw a nugget out here at you. One of the things we were discussing, we went and got, you know, some water and stuff like that, and, you know, fellowshipping Brother Virgil Mitchell and Son of Allen and myself. We were just talking about some things, and one of the things that Yah had revealed is that through the sorcery of the last days is through pharmaceuticals. If you notice nowadays, you don't see a lot of witchcraft and voodoo and things like that, because spiritual wickedness in high places is using the high places is all these leaders and these different people who are making these decisions to push these drugs on people, because drugs, whether they classify it as medicine are different methods by which they are opening people up to demonic activity. Because it alters your mind, it alters your body, and when you look at how demons operate in Scripture, they look for a vessel that's clean. That clean is not from a perspective of just saying nothing is in there. It is like a shield that's let down. They look for the weak and the feeble. So when your physical body is weak, and you know you become sick and things like that, you're more open. You're more open to these activities from these different spirits that's manifested through the drugs, which is sorcery that's being used. That is the modern day sorcery of Revelation. Is your pharmaceutical and things like that. And so when you get on in Revelation, it says they repented not from their sorceries and idolatry and those things like that. They are using drugs of all kinds, whether it's legal or illegal. Probably the majority of the stuff that they're giving us nowadays is really illegal when you look at what it does to the physical body. Okay? And so, that's the sorcery that's being done in these last days. So you got to be careful, even when you're dealing with these drugs. And I believe without a doubt, that's one of the reasons why Yah allowed me to go into the hospital to give me an even deeper revelation of what we had already been discussing in different lessons and things like that. And then he even showed me why I went from food poisoning. That's what it was. And from the food poisoning, the wheezing was coming from that, and the shorter breath was coming from that. Well, your blood pressure got to go up to help me survive, because I couldn't breathe. I couldn't hardly breathe. It's like I was suffocating. So your blood pressure has to go up for you to survive. So all during that night or that 24-hour range period, my blood pressure had to stay high to keep me alive, because that's the only way I could survive. You know, because I couldn't breathe, you know. It was difficult for me to walk from one area around the corner, just around the corner to the other area. And when I first got out of the hospital, I got on the treadmill, it was like I had never run in my life. I was like, man, what is going on? Well, a few days later, I got on there and ran. I stopped and walked a little bit, but I felt better. Now I'm back to my old self. I got on there today and ran, boy, you know, I was like, shoot. I was coasting, but my hair was blowing and everything. You know, I felt good. But it let me know that's what was going on. And so y'all allowed this to happen so you know, sometimes he put us in harm's way so that he may bring judgment down things and bring, you know, reveal things. So we have to understand that. So he's like, well, I'm going to put you in the hospital for a day so that you can understand some stuff. All right? And he just said, I did it. He said, I did it for your glory. So, amen. All right. Okay. Any other questions, comments? We're good? All right. Father Yahweh, we just bless your name on tonight. We thank you for another facet of understanding. Just continue to lead and guide us in all truth. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.